Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sportsbook on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
That one was strong.
That was a good one. Welcome back, Midday Show.
What have I done to deserve this?
Hugh Douglas, Joe Giller, coming up at 12:10 around there. The Nick Sirianni midweek press conference will carry that in its entirety. I'm sure he'll be asked about the Eagles. Well, you would call it non-activity at the NFL trade deadline. Nothing. The Chiefs got two players. The Lions got a player. The Bills got a player. The Commanders got maybe the biggest in terms of what it cost to get him player yesterday with Lattimore. The Steelers got two players. And we got a big old goose egg at the trade deadline. Nothing. I'm not okay with it. I think the Eagles should have done something here to try to push themselves closer to Super Bowl contention. Hugh's okay with it. Where do you come down? 215-592-9494. This hour sponsored by Popeyes. It's football season, Philly. So fly to Popeyes, fly and fill up on wings in 7 delicious flavors for Popeyes. In fact, I would call yesterday, from the perspective of Howie Roseman, I would call that a failure. He failed yesterday. He had a chance to make this a better football team, and he said, nope, not going to do it, and you're okay. Even though you're trying to get everyone on a bus to New Orleans, you're okay with this.
I don't consider it a failure. I feel like this team is trending in the right direction, save the incidents and issues that we had in the Jacksonville game. I think it's trending in the right direction, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I feel like he didn't have to make a whole lot of moves.
But his direct competitors made moves. They got better.
Can't worry about what the seed and sodding that other people are putting in the grass,
Hold
Joe.
Hold on, and you're going to say I have, I'm still, lost in July and August. But we made, let's go back to the Phillies, because I can't get over that, right?
Can't get over it.
Their acquisitions were Austin Hayes. That was their big acquisition. Meanwhile, the Dodgers got Tommy Edman, who was the NLCS
yeah.
MVP.
Yeah.
The Yankees got Jazz Chisholm. They got to the World Series.
Yeah, we didn't want Jazz Chisholm.
So guess what?
I remember I was on that boat.
I know. And you know what's going to happen? I'm going to remind this. If Za'Darius Smith has a big sack against the Eagles in a playoff game, I'm going to say, Hugh, what do you? If Marshawn Lattimore shuts down A.J. Brown next Thursday, then what?
That's not going to happen. Yeah, thank you. But
what if Lattimore has a pick next week?
No,
it don't happen.
That certainly could happen.
let me give you this scenario.
Oh, now we
Bryce Huff.
Pie in the sky. Oh, stop.
Two sack game. His hand is better.
You are lost.
Which blows my mind that he didn't play because his hand was hurt.
So
his hand is better. He can go ahead and give you two sacks.
Sure.
You know, Hugh, I'm sick of your looking at other people's grass analogy.
Why?
Because the Eagles are in a best lawn competition in their neighborhood. And if they're looking at other people's grass, they got a bunch of weeds growing on theirs, and everyone's redoing their lawns and the checker print lawn mowing. We're gonna get blown out, left in the dust.
That checker print lawn mowing is really nice, especially when when you don't use any color, you just the grass contrasting. That's pretty awesome.
You know what I saw yesterday to go off of Kyle's analogy? I'm looking at the Commanders, our next door neighbor, and they went and got that expensive fertilizer, and they laid it all down.
You mean that kind that smells like doo-doo?
That's right.
And we are in a lawn competition.
And you know what we did? We don't even have a sprinkler system right now, and you're okay with that.
I'm okay because we're doing well. We're trending it. My grass is growing, and it's looking strong, and it's green. It's looking green.
You know what? And you know what? Some people might say to you, Hugh, you're right. The grass is growing. And Kyle are being the realist and saying, I don't know about that, man.
No, you and Kyle are the ones that wake up every morning. And the first thing that you do, instead of watering your grass, you're going looking to see what the neighbor's doing.
Yes.
The neighbor's grass.
It is a competition.
Reckless
lawn competition.
Reckless grass watching.
Hugh, you know, now that you have a home, you might find yourself doing a lot of grass watching.
No, I don't, because I'm not fooling with that grass, man. I wish somebody would tell me to cut grass. I'd be like, man, you better Man,
wait,
listen.
Wait, do you have like a homeowners association?
Who's yeah, it's the HOA.
Oh, so they'll
it's
cut like, it for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, cut it. They're going to cut it.
Oh, all right. I was going to say.
They ain't going to cut that grass.
Someone's got to cut
explains
it.
A lot.
It does. Everyone does. Our Twitter question sponsored.
Why do you think I moved there? I wasn't cutting no grass.
I can't see you cutting grass.
No, not going to do it.
I cut grass.
I barely like to speak to the people that speak to me on a daily basis.
Well, it's good that you're a talk show host.
Talking about us?
No, I'm talking about.
Wow.
I'm talking about, you know, no, I'm talking about when, wow. You know, when you're outside running, you know, people are walking their dogs or whatever. You know, big black dude running through the neighborhood, you kind of, you know, you don't really want to speak too much. You know what I mean? Because you don't want to make nobody nervous. It's still early in the morning. So I just be like, you know, I run around and, whatnot, you know, don't want to make nobody nervous.
I was going to say I understand, but I don't understand. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Was yesterday's trade deadline a failure by Howie Roseman? 70% are on no. Does anyone want to win the Super Bowl?
Listen, thank you. I just want to take this moment
coping.
And thank everybody that listens to me and understands exactly where I'm coming from. Because I work with two individuals that are highly aggressive. I would say if I didn't like them as much as I do, I would definitely call HR or both of y'all.
Yeah.
Because
you know what?
Y'all make y'all make me feel uncomfortable. But I like you guys, so I'm not going
to
do that. I'm just saying. I'm
just
trying to tell you.
Because you're complacent with Bryce Huff, and I wanted to pass.
I have been accused of being complacent at times.
Oh, my goodness, totally. All right, Josh in Wilmington's up. Hey, Josh.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, man, Hugh, just too much. And you know, Juan Gilio.
Juan!
I thought about you last night when after the trade deadline passed. I'm like, I'm sure Gilio is curled up in a ball waiting for tomorrow. Just going to be the anxiety-ridden to
That's
talk
right.
about what Howie Roseman didn't do. And I say all that to say that I'm all right with it like Hugh is. You know, it's like, we're a young club, you know, and I think our trajectory, where we are right now, heading through the back end of our season now, we have crossed the midway point. I think that the team behind closed doors is kind of unified and, you know, I don't mind it. I really don't. I think Jalen Hurts, the way he's playing, he's only going to get better as the season goes on. I feel that just in what I've seen, especially the Jaguar game, right? I mean, do you agree or disagree?
He played well. No, he's
yeah,
playing better.
I agree.
And Josh, it does feel like that when it comes to him specifically and the passing game, that Jalen's just more – it just feels like he and Kellen Moore have found their rhythm together. It, you know, it took a month or so, but now I think we're heading there where he's going to play well. I feel that too.
Yeah, I mean, and ultimately, like – as far as the defense goes, what we weren't anticipating and what, I mean, I scratch my head week to week is the middle of that defense, right? We have linebacker play. And, you know, with that, I think that you're seeing a bit more or a bit more will open up and Hugh would be able to kind of shed some light on this for us. But when you know that you got guys behind you, it kind of frees you up on up front to kind of get after it a little bit more. And
which they are, a little bit more.
Yeah, huh. No doubt about it. And I think that, you know, wanting to go ultimately bring a rental in or take some 37-year-old six-time Pro Bowler, who, you know, I mean, I don't think that how we're constructed at the moment spoke to Howie Roseman enough to want to make a move.
See, Josh, that's where I think you hit it, and that's what I'm feeling. Like, deep down, I think Howie's telling us this isn't their year. Like, if they somehow win it, great. But it didn't feel like he pushed all in. I think he's looking at it more. We're young, like you said. It's coming together. And maybe they think internally next year is more likely to be a Super Bowl year than this year.
Yeah, I mean, I mean, and you know, you guys know me, and I get a little heated. Like, I was actually kind of cool with it. I mean, last night, you know, with everything that was going on yesterday and after the deadline had passed, I was like, huh. You know, it didn't move my meter not one bit because I'm thinking, you know, just about the club as a whole right now and the young Thundercats in my man Hugh's words, right? So let's go with it. And you know, I mean, here, we can – what we're going to do is we're going to sit and scrutinize Nick Sirianni the rest of the season.
Well, that's for sure.
He put himself in that situation, though, man.
That's for sure. All right, yeah. Josh, give us an iconic duo. What do you got for us today, Josh?
So, I mean, I'm just going to do it. Is it too early? I don't know. Belichick and Brady.
It's a good – I mean, it certainly is an iconic
that's a good
duo.
One.
Listen, you're not going to win the popular vote with that one, Josh. No one likes those guys. But
peanut butter and jelly.
That's a good combo, too.
You
got to
pick one, Josh. Which one's your submission?
Well, one of them's people.
Oh, right. Yeah, one of those. You're right.
Yeah, you blew it.
It can't be peanut butter and jelly.
Nope,
that's
you're
right.
In for peanut butter and jelly.
Belichick and Brady.
Yeah, you blew it. The
I mean, Belichick and Brady is an iconic duo, but they're not, you know.
What's an iconic duo now is Belichick and his girlfriend.
Becoming one.
Yeah.
Taking Instagram pictures.
He is living his best life.
Well, he's, you know.
What is he, like 70-something?
He's 74 or 5. She's 24 or 5.
Let's not speak on that.
Well, I mean, that's with the facts, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
We just speak facts in this show. That's all
it is. Yeah, I mean, yeah.
Some of us.
Well, yes. Some of us live in reality. Some of us live in...
I live in reality every day. But
your reality and the real world are just, they're not always the same.
It is. It's exactly the same.
You know what I'm hearing a lot of now as callers come in, they're okay with it? They're okay with this not being a Super Bowl season.
That's the way Josh said. No, that's the way you're spinning it.
Because, when I say to you, young and they're improving and we'll see where it goes, that's like a maybe.
No, that's a definitely. Okay,
no, it's not a definitely.
Okay, let's talk about something that has not happened yet that we thought was going to happen.
Mm, go ahead.
We thought that we were going to be averaging at least 30 points a game, right?
No, we did.
We did.
You.
When I
this
say
this is like the Uncle Phil. We did. No, you did.
Will you allow me to tell my story?
Go ahead.
We thought we were going to be averaging 30 points a game. That has not happened yet. I still believe that that's the case. I think that Howie believes that that's the case. We have two historic receivers. We did something that was historic last year. And we got two historic receivers on our squad that we need to feed. And one of them was hurt last week. And one of them is starting to come into his own. And Jahan Dotson has been, Let me cook.
But then you brought Dotson into it. How can I let you cook with Dotson?
He made a hell of a catch.
He made one circus catch in 8 weeks.
But I am being pie in the sky right now, though.
Of course.
And again, like I said, once we get comfortable, because I think it's coming, it has to come, because he makes $250 million since we always like to talk about money.
Mm.
We have to get comfortable with putting more on our quarterback's plate at some point.
But they're putting less.
No.
As the weeks go on, we ask him to do less.
I think we're putting less on it because, for whatever reason, it hasn't clicked for him yet.
Or they think their best way to win is to ask him to throw
less. Well, I think the best way to win is what's needed right now, but at some point we got to get this passing game
hold
going.
Hold on.
Man.
We had offensive players come out and say that they want us to go back to the 2021 formula.
No, but the passing game has to. Okay, let me say this.
I agree with you to win the Super Bowl. I agree with that, but I don't know if it's
happening. Let me say this in the passing game. Cuz I think that when I say the passing game has to be more, we're thinking bombs over Baghdad, throwing the ball down the field. No, it has to be more efficient. There has to be more plays that allow for more yards after the catch. There has to be more creativity in the design of the plays that get the players open, that allow them to do what they do best, and that's get the yards after the catch. So that's what I'm talking about.
I hear you, and I don't disagree with the idea that if they're going to win the Super Bowl, their passing game needs to do a little more, right? They can't just rely on the run game. I'm with you. But the evidence says week by week, and Kyle brings up a good point, Jordan Mailata with you guys in the players' lounge, Lane Johnson has offered it. They went to the coach and said, let's run the ball more. They don't want to throw anymore. Or maybe they do and don't think they can. I don't know. Look, the Eagles have shown to be a good team. They've moved forward from 2-2 to 6-2. This thing is pointing the right direction. They certainly look like a playoff team right now. I just found yesterday disappointing. They could have added. It wouldn't have guaranteed anything. Like, I'm not being silly about it. So Darius Smith or, you know, whoever is not going to guarantee a Super Bowl. But yes, I'm looking at other people's grass. And yes, the best team in the division right now is the Commanders. They got better. Okay? Yes, the best team in the NFC right now is the Lions. They got better. And we're sitting here, we're complacent, Hugh, and we didn't get better.
I think we are getting better. No, we're getting better week to week.
Sure,
you're talking about adding
yes,
a player.
Yes, that's what yesterday was about.
Yeah, I don't think it was needed. I really don't. I still think that there is a place here, and they obviously do as well, that there's a place here for Bryce Huff, even though he didn't play.
And maybe you're right long term. Yesterday,
with a hand.
Yeah, well, the hand thing. Yesterday felt like a if we make a run, great, but it's. I mean, Kyle, we know there are years where Howie pushes in. Like, there are years. 2022 was that, right? Not only did he trade for Robert Quinn, that didn't work, but he also signed Sue. He signed Joseph. Like, leave no stone unturned. This felt like a, yeah, maybe it's our year, but if it's not, we'll get him next year.
It's like it's the cherry on top to the what we described as the bizarro Howie season and
bizarro
offseason
Howie.
This entire time. I can't explain it. Like, even in years where you're not necessarily sitting there going, we have something special in our hands. He makes a move to try and propel the team. That's why I can't buy the whole, well, he struck out the last two times. Like, that doesn't work for me.
See, I don't think that's what it was. I don't think that he was afraid to make a move because of the past moves that he's made. I feel like, you know, especially with their analytics department, they went in there and they looked at every possible scenario and they say, well, you know what? This team is trending in the right direction, even though there were some bonehead plays made against Jacksonville. That's not lost on me. And you could say, like, there's been an argument through the national media that the talent on this team saved that game in Jacksonville.
Well, I think it did.
Yeah.
I think it did.
That's been the argument the last couple of days. So if that is the case, this team is talented enough, in my opinion, by what has been said, is talented enough to be a Super Bowl contender. They just have to get the right person or Coach Sirianni to point them in the right direction.
Yeah, they're talented enough to be a playoff team. I look, they're not more talented than Detroit. They're not more talented than Baltimore or Buffalo or the Chiefs. Like, maybe they're close, but yesterday was a day to go push, and they didn't want to push.
I feel
All
like...
All right, let's hear from Nick Sirianni.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sirianni, I'm sure we'll talk about all this.
Hey, Nick, Saquon's on pace for, I think it's 377 touches this year. Where are you on kind of monitoring that? And I know you give him some Wednesdays off practice, but do you kind of get concerned about that number when it gets real high?
Again, you try to take care of them. You try to do what you need to do to win each and every football game. You try to take care of them throughout the week. I think that, you know, the two games, obviously not last game, but the game before that and the game before that, we were able to get him out in the fourth quarter. You try to monitor as much as you possibly can, and that's really our jobs Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And being aware of it, you know, on Sunday, but always considering that with each and every one of our players that we feel with load management, and I think our strength and conditioning staff and our trainers and our doctors give me really good insight to how to do that, and give our staff really good insight on how to do that. So always on our mind, with how many touches he has.
Well, I'd say the edge rushers actually their snap counts are. Actually, wait, all the snaps are way lower. I think Josh has the highest snap count for any one game, 42 or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Has that been, last year they played a ton of snaps? Especially.
Sure. And that's the flow of the game. Like, last game was 53 snaps. I think last year we had a game with 90-something against Buffalo. All right, so that plays into it. So, yeah, I mean, that's you're trying, obviously, to – you're thinking about that with everybody, but not every position has rotations, right? Offensive line don't rotate. Defensive line does. Running backs do. But the flows of the game, the way the game's being played, right, that can dictate a lot of different things. So it's every season's not apples to apples. I know it's the same amount of games, but every game's a little bit different and how the games are kind of playing out. So we also are aware of that, and I think that's good for our guys, and I think that's good that our depth has that, that we're able to do those things at defensive end.
Why did you guys ultimately not make a trade before the deadline?
You know, I think that'd be a good question for Howie. I know you don't get him until the end of the year, but I really feel really strongly about our team and where we are. You know, when talking through all those different things, I just feel so strongly about our team and how he's done a great job of building it to date that, you know, didn't feel like at that time that there was anything to do. So, yeah, I feel really good about the people that we have here, the guys that we have here. I feel strong about the depth at our, you know, the starters at the position and the depth at that position. So that speaks for the work that Howie and his staff have done, you know, from the draft till now, really at the end of the day.
What's Bryce Huff's role going forward?
Yeah, still be in the mix and in the rotation of the rushers. You know, again, I think the ability to, you know, with Jimmy's question of, you know, less rush reps for some of those guys. Yeah, it's a one part of it is that we've played a little bit less plays, but also that we feel good about the rotation. I think all four of those guys have done a nice job, and then we'll see if Jalik's getting into the mix as well. I think he's been doing a good job at practice to be able to go that. So we feel like we have, you know, five guys in that rotation that can get after the passer, that can stop the crush the edge on the run. I got a ton of faith in him. Like I said, you know, you guys know that he had something going on, after warmups last week, but that's just the way that game went and how he was feeling, and I got a ton of confidence in him and the things that he can do.
This franchise has lost six in a row in Dallas. You've been here for three of them. Every year is a new team, but what do you make of this franchise's struggles down there recently, and how eager are you to snap that?
Yeah, you're always eager to get out there and win the next football game. I think the way I feel about the team, you know, obviously we haven't won there since I've been here, but like I kind of look at this the same way as like New Orleans. When same question was provided for us in New Orleans, like, hey, yeah, you guys haven't won there since whenever. Merrill made it very clear that we hadn't won in Cincinnati ever with the awesome voice that he has. And that doesn't mean anything to us. Like if you're worried about, like, unless it was something like the weather or the dome or what, that was like, you felt like we just got to go out there and play a good game against a good football team. And their crowd and their noise and, you know, things that we do for any football game. But, you know, we're treating this week like every other week. We're looking to get better this week to give ourselves the best chance to win and against a really good opponent.
Are you expecting?
The defense has been really good since the bye week. Is there one thing you would attribute that to, like it clicking, coming together? What do you think that is?
I think just everybody continuing to be on the same page. A defensive football at the end of the day, and I think Vic calls a really good game week in and week out. That's why he's one of the better defensive coordinators in the NFL. But defensive football is always going to be about tackling. It's always going to be about physicality. It's always going to be about being on the same page, and it's always going to be about relentless effort, getting to the football and playing team defense. And we're just getting better at that. I think that we're getting better as a football team because of the way that that we're practicing, and just the way we're meeting, the way we're walking through. You can see signs of us just getting better with our tackling, getting better with our ball security, getting better with the way we, you know, we're on the same page. It's like just these, like it's like there's no secret to success. Like the secret to success is work your butt off, have good people in place, work your butt off, and try to get better each week and control the things you can control. And so I got a ton of confidence in the defensive staff. of how they've been getting these guys better. Bobby King is you want to talk about somebody that's so focused in on the fundamentals, like, you know, all he cares about is getting these guys better at tackling. All he cares about is getting these guys better at block destruction. All he cares about is getting these guys on the same page. All he cares about is how the guys come out there and try to take the football away. And so I think that's a buy-in from everybody. Because we know fundamentals is how we reach another level. And it's, again, it's just not how you do team periods. It's how you drill. It's all those things. And I think that's, you know, there's a price to pay for success, and it's working hard.
Are you expecting to get Dallas or Slay back? And do you have an update on AJ?
Yeah, we'll see on all that. You guys will get an injury report on that later today. We'll see how today goes and where we are. We still got a little bit of time before practice, so we'll see where they are.
What is Bobby King bringing to the off-ball line? I mean, specifically, you made three changes.
The
one you had to.
I think that, again, I think this that Bobby is – have you guys talked to Bobby?
Yeah, not in a while.
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to work with Bobby with the Chargers, and this guy is a relentless worker. And like I said, like I just find him somebody that just how he's always thinking about how he gets players better. Like we missed something in the game, and without getting too much into it, he's like, hey, here's how I got to drill this. Here's what I'm thinking here, and like I admire that. Like I admire like okay. The linebacker missed this, and he's thinking what he can do to help them be better at that. That's coaching. That's why we as coaches put everything on our plate when something goes wrong on the field, because we have the opportunity to provide them the things that we think they need to get better at, and then the opportunity to do so. And so I really admire about that. He is a like he puts that. You guys see it. I don't know if you. He puts that vest on, and they strike the crap out of him. They put their hands on him. He's jarring his back. Like, he's going to be, I'm assuming he's going to, he only got so many more years of letting them hit him in his chest, because it's probably been happening for a long time. But he's obsessive about, and they'll hit the crap out of him. He'll be like, nope, that was too bendy, or that was too, you know, strike, you know, whatever it is. And so I admire that he's always trying to get them better fundamentally. As a position coach, you know, the coordinator, it's a group effort when you're coming up with a plan. There is no doubt about that. You know, you take inputs from everybody. But as a coordinator, or pardon me, as a position coach, your biggest job, your most important job is how do you get those players better at their fundamental. And it's, you got all different types of players, you know, and it's how do you get those guys better fundamentally? How do you get those guys to understand their job more? And that's where I'm, you know, knew that about Bobby and seeing it, you know, firsthand as he's, you know, continued to grow in his coaching. And, yeah, I can't say enough good things about him.
Do you think across the board you're getting a higher level of coaching from your position coaches this season?
I think that I've really been pleased, you know, throughout, as far as our position coaches throughout the time we've had here. We've had a lot of success. And that success, you know, is contributed through the entire organization, first and foremost, you know, how we getting the guys in here to, you know, giving us the talent here to help us, you know, do our jobs at a very high level. The players making the plays and the position coaches and the coordinators, you know, doing their job to get them better. I'm not going to compare one to the other. I think that, like I said, we've had a lot of success, won a lot of games, and everyone shares in those successes. But to say, you know, the guys that we have now love our coaches that we have. Like, I've been with Jason Michael for, you know, this is 7 years. Like, I got so much confidence that the type of coach he is. And Aaron Moorhead, right, going back to when he did an internship with us for Indy. And now, you know, him being the wideout coach. And Jamal Singleton, didn't know him before we got here. We hit a home run with Jamal. And Clint, I love what Clint's bringing to the, you know, to the table as far as, you know, how he's gotten the defensive tackles better. Wash has been here. Wash is one of the guys that, and Stout, guys that were here. And, like, I think we got really good position coaches that a lot of them can be coordinators and have been coordinators, and they know how to get guys better. And I could go on. I want to be able to say everybody's name, but I'm really pleased with the guys that we have here right now, and they're doing a great job. They work their butts off. They have relationships with these players, so the players trust them, and they're getting our players better. And that is very obvious.
Along those lines, is there an example from your career in the NFL where maybe you or another coach really helped change the way a guy who had been in the league for a while was doing something and improving? You know, the idea being that a guy who's been in the league a while is kind of set in his ways, and yet a coach was able to, you know, really help him improve.
Yeah, I think that what players want from you is as a position coach, as a coordinator, is getting, how do you get them better? And I've never really run into a guy that's like, nope, this is how I do it, and I'm not doing it any other way. Like, because why is that? I think the reason that is that, you know, you provide them, you show them that you know what you're talking about, and you provide them an opportunity to get better. They get better, and then you got them hooked, I guess to say, right? And so I haven't experienced that, and I get that happens, but like we feel like, you know, we do some things like. I have not experienced that. I guess I've been around really good guys. And again, like I said, what are you doing to get them better? And that's got to be the first and foremost. And like, if we're not doing anything getting better, then we're just their buddies. They're older buddies. I guess now I can say that I'm a little older as a coach now. And so our job is to have a relationship with the player so we can get them better. But our job first and foremost is to get them better and work tirelessly to do that through, like I said, with Bobby King, getting them better through drills and thinking of different things to help them and the coaching points. And really it comes down to, as a position coach or as a coach, of being a bulldog and not like at some point, like if we keep telling you the same thing, like some point you're like, this guy's going to be relentless. Hey, if I keep messing this up, this guy's going to be relentless. And now I got to fix this because he ain't going to shut up about this. Like, and there is something to that. Like, being a bulldog. I know Stout's a bulldog. I know we got a lot of bulldogs on this staff where it's like, you mess something up, they're going to tell you. And it's not like they're going to keep telling you over and over and over again.
Jalen Hurts said coming out of the bye week that it was one of the most efficient bye weeks he's ever had. And then he comes out and has played four very good games. What do you see, anything that he's doing differently over this last month that he wasn't doing perhaps in the first month?
Yeah, again, the things that you do in the dark eventually show up in the light, and it's like he worked his butt off, and he's been working his butt off. But it was a great bye week. Just, you know, the conversations, the film watching together, the collaboration of things, and you know, he's played great football this past month. He's a great player, so. You love when that happens because, again, you're constantly promoting, hey, make no mistake about why we're getting better. We're getting better because of the work. We're getting better because we're capable, because we have good players and good coaches in this room, but we're getting better because of the work. That doesn't matter if it's in practice, walkthrough, meetings, bye week. You know, you get better because of the work, and it's such a long season, and you just want to continue that rise, and that's what, you know, Jalen's played really good this past month, and he's done a great job taking care of the football, done a great job leading this team. I'm proud of how he's been going. I told John, yeah, I get him. Go ahead, John.
With Callan, real quick, he's got a long history in that building. It's been a while, but and he knows them, they know him. Complicate things, help things, in your experience?
Yeah, it's always, you always are looking for any advantage that you can get. In everything, I'm sure they are too. So we'll turn over every stone we possibly can. I'm sure they will as well. Sometimes you can get too much wrapped into that. And so it's like, hey, go through the process of what we do when we have information there, and you know, use what we can. And it takes discernment, wisdom to know what to use and what not to use. And you do that through your studies and the tape and everything like that.
Thanks. All right, welcome back after the Nick Sirianni press conference there. Look, he's asked about Saquon Barkley and all the carries, which you knew was going to be a topic.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim. Located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy day beds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.